Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is 995B, almost 1,000. 995B. So I guess that means we've been going for almost 20 years, 18 years plus, 19 years plus. But today's guest is really wonderful. Robin Cruz wrote the book Making Peace with Your Plate. And it's about a subject that's quite interesting to me because I don't know how common it is, although we're told it's very common. So let's find out how she got into this field. We should tell you 994B is from Paul Offit, who developed the rotavirus vaccine. He wrote the book Overkill, which is talking about drugs in America, medications in America. Emily Hunt, the College of Engineering, she's both dean and a professor at West Texas A&M, developed a great device that you'll want to learn about in 993B. But for today, this is the B segments. The Bs are always the guest segment. And we welcome Robin Cruz. Robin, how common are eating disorders?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I would say that eating disorders, the latest studies that come out is that even if you don't know it or think it, everybody will know somebody with an eating disorder. 30 million people in the United States struggle with eating disorders. 20 million of them are female, 10 million of them are male, and it's approximately about 70 million and rising throughout the world right now.
Now, why does America have almost half of, we only have whatever it is, 5% of the population, but we have almost 50% of the eating disorders? Why is that?
You know, I think that's a really great question. I really wouldn't know. I could take a stab at that and...
Go to it. Take a
yeah,
stab.
Yeah, I mean, in our Western culture, we have a very skewed version of what it means to be healthy and to look good. And of course, that's only one element that makes us susceptible to eating disorders. So I think what would be best is if I tell you what makes us susceptible to an eating disorder in the first place. Because you can have an environment where you have a kind of a broken body ideal culture that says that you have to be a certain size. And you could also diet or you know, follow fad diets or have a bit of a preoccupation with body, but it doesn't dictate you, right? So there are, I like to call it a combination lock. And there's three numbers that need to be cracked in order to be susceptible to an eating disorder. And I'll use myself for an example. So for me, I was born with a personality, temperament, and traits, right? I was a high achiever, kind of an A-type personality, very, very sensitive and very intuitive, right? Then there's my genes. Well, I have a family history of anxiety and other mental health issues. And then my environment. My mum became very ill when I was 11 years old, and she was told by her doctor to prepare us for her death. That was a traumatic event. And then on top of that, I had this concept of what I needed to be in order to be an actress, which was my first career. And so together, those concepts, those things crack the combination, and now I'm susceptible to an eating disorder.
It's an excellent explanation. So it's both a predisposition with your genes and then an environment as well as a personality temperament. Now, let me go and ask you, so when you think of this, is this a, I mean, if 20 million women have it and 10 million men, and I think it's mainly a disease of youth, but you may correct me on that. We'll come back to that, but is it a way that mental stress or anxiety is expressed more in youth, or is it my misperception that it occurs more in youth?
I think we recognize eating disorders in our youth much more because, you know, they're usually under the roof of their parents. You can see behaviors that they tend to do. Often they're incredibly anxious children, right? I know for myself, I was a very anxious child. And the way that I found kind of safety from uncertainty in the world was picking up these eating disorders behaviors that felt like I had some form of control. Now, there is studies that show that women that have empty nests or have gone through menopause or hit a certain age, they tend to also navigate towards eating disorders, whether they had them before and they've returned to them. So it really affects many, many of us. And I think, you know, honestly, I think that we don't know the true number, just like the coronavirus, if you will. We don't know the true number because not everybody has been treated or screened, right? Also, we don't take into consideration as much now the binge, well, we do in the numbers, but in general, there is such a thing as binge eating disorder, which has a very high rate of people being affected. But I suspect that we don't have those numbers because a lot of people kind of think that they're, you know, they feel fat and lazy and ashamed to go and get the help when they don't realize that actually binge eating disorder is a mental health illness that has a high level of treatment success. Right. So there's lack of education.
Let's go back and talk about your story, if we can, which is beautifully described in the book as well as the recovery process. So and we'll get to the recovery process. But I first want to the story is so interesting. And I want to try and see how was it discovered, if you will, that you had this disorder? Did you have to discover it yourself, or did someone discover it in you? In other words, tell us what the usual phenomenon is, rather than just what happened in you, and were you typical in this way?
Yeah. I mean, I know that there's about a third of those who struggle with eating disorders. It's brought on by a traumatic event. And that was certainly my case, as I said, with my mom being diagnosed. She had an autoimmune illness called lupus, and back then it wasn't recognized and it had very little treatment available for it. And her kidneys were failing. And that was a traumatic event that occurred for me. And that's kind of what propelled me into the eating disorder behavior. But, you know, overeating was kind of a common thing in our household, and it wasn't really, and so I was 11 years old then, but it wasn't really until I was 16 years old when I started referring to the eating disorder behavior as an it, like I kind of personified it because it had taken up so much of my space, right? The food and the body and how I would control it took up so much of the space that it began to dictate my life. And I remember my mom walking down the stairs when I was 16, and she said something about having dinner, and I said, I can't, it won't allow me. And she was like, what is it? What are you talking about? And there it was when she decided to get me some help, and I went to my first doctor. Of course, unfortunately, the doctor didn't really know much.
Let me go back to that. You knew you had a problem, but it took somebody else to almost do an intervention in you to get that help.
Yes. I mean, I was 16 years old, so...
Right. No. I'm saying, but I think that's very common. Although many of us recognize we have an issue with something that we need... We need a concierge, if you will, to help us, or a coach to help us get treatment.
Exactly, because sorry to interrupt you, I just got very passionate about it. We don't know. Those who are struggling don't know that this obsession, these kind of intrusive thoughts, if you will, are different to what other people are dealing with. We don't know that when we feel fat and unattractive, but may not actually, you know, be overweight, or we might even be underweight, we don't know that we're not looking at it correctly, that we can't see ourselves correctly, you know? And so you're right. It reminds me of a questionnaire that I often refer to when I'm training. It's called the SCoT questionnaire, and it's a five-question part. And one of the questions says, do you believe yourself to be fat when others think you are thin? Would you say that food dominates your life? And I think when you have it young, you know that there's something wrong, right? Because you feel it, and you're riddled with anxiety, and you're dictated by these things, and your life becomes narrow, but you don't know that there's a solution. And often we can be very scared to talk about it because it doesn't sound right. No one wants to be judged, and no one wants to be pointed out and say, well, actually there's something really horribly wrong with you. So there's a lot of fear that prevents us from seeing it as well.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
We're talking with Robin Cruz, author of Making Peace with Your Plate. It's in its second edition. It's a wonderful book about recovery from eating disorders. I should remind you, the sponsor of You, the Owner's Manual podcast is Persona Nutrition, which has personalized supplements that you can choose. If you want to have some fun, you can take the free online assessment to get the supplements personalized to you. You just have to go to mypersona.com. And Robin, when we're talking about the process of recovery, once you get into this, what you make a point, and I think the point is made extremely well in the book, that you can, if you use willpower, especially because the personality of people with this is pretty strong, to avoid the eating disorder for a period of time. But it isn't until you get to deal with your emotions and get your feelings out on a plate, so to speak, that you can really go into recovery. Did I get that right from that? It's
spot on.
So talk to us a little bit about your own case. What happened? Because it isn't immediate that people get recovery from mental disorder or from anxiety disorders or stress disorders. And in this case, you were trying to be or wanted to be an actress. Did get to be an actress. You're kind of a reformed actress now, if you will. But in any case, the point is you were worried about body image and weren't dealing with your feelings. Is that correct?
When I was in the eating disorder or afterwards?
No, when you were in it and when you were trying to get rid of it initially.
Yeah, I mean, I think just because you want recovery doesn't mean that there is not a ton of work to do. I think absolutely the willingness to be willing is the first step. But recovery is messy, and it's it can be very slow and unrewarding for a little bit. You know, for me and many other people, I know personally that I am not alone. Underneath the eating disorder behavior was a lot of trauma and a lot of anxiety. If I was to look back now at the eating disorder behavior, I can clearly see the anxiety engine that was kind of revving beneath it all along. And so when I put down the eating disorder behavior, the anxiety didn't stop. It just uncovered the anxiety. And so I had to really become active. Even now, I'm long into my recovery. I still have to be incredibly active about what I do and how I deal with my anxiety, because that kind of revving motor makes me want to run from anything.
So how do you deal with your anxiety now? How do you fight that, if you will, problem?
Yeah, that's a really good question, especially during this time, right, when we're in a world of uncertainty. When uncertainty is near, anxiety tends to flare up. You know, I've done a combination over the years. I exercise most days, just anything light that gets the anxiety out of my body. I go to group therapy. I do group therapy. I do exposure response prevention therapy, which is called ERP therapy, which is it's like a cognitive behavior therapy, which is very, very good for people with anxiety. I get enough sleep. I get sunlight. I do a lot of things, but mostly what I do is try to have a conversation with myself and honor myself. You know, like, I try to get quiet with myself and honor my truth instead of trying to run from it. And I think that really keeps me balanced. I do want to address, though, just quickly what you said about the body image stuff and in recovery. You know, there is no definition of being fully recovered from an eating disorder. And just because we're in eating disorder recovery doesn't mean that we won't be susceptible to the kind of the noise of the broken body image culture that we're living in. The difference in the eating disorder recovery for me is that I don't starve, binge or purge no matter what. They're my bottom lines, right? And the way that I look and, you know, the gap between my thighs or the lack of or the number on the scales do not determine my self-worth. And I think that that's a lesson really for most people in our culture at this point in time.
Now, you mentioned that, and I'm going to get to the one last subject I want to talk to Robin Cruz about. We're talking to Robin Cruz of Making Peace with Your Plate, is that it seems to me in the people I've dealt with eating disorders, one of the worries they have when they try and get towards recovery or when they think about it is they worry about getting overweight. They worry about getting too fat or looking fat. And you deal with that very well in the book. So I know you know a lot about it. So talk to us a little bit about that worry about getting fat that people have.
Yeah, I think, gosh, I can so relate to that. You know, I truly believe that if I stopped the eating disorder behavior that I would eat the world and I would be, you know, the size of a house. And to me, that was a big fear because I struggled so much with needing control and my body was one of the ways that I controlled it and the ways that I controlled how people looked at me. And I think that that's one of the biggest obstacles for many of us in eating disorder recovery is that we have this idea, this kind of magical thinking, if you will, of what we're going to be. But the truth is, with every start, with every diet, there is a binge, right? And the only thing that we can do that really kind of takes us off the kind of the eating disorder and even the diet behavior culture is to start to have a relationship with our body and the food that we put in it. I mean, I always talk about how the body is so intelligent that we can create other human beings. So if we listen to it, why the hell do we think that it won't tell us what to eat, you know, when we're hungry and how to stop when we're full, right? Well, here's the problem. We've spent so much of our lives ignoring our bodies, being taught by outside world that we can't trust it. And so we think that, from that lens, that's what we project onto our eating disorder recovery. That's not true. And that's where our leap of faith has to come into it, right? That's where our willingness to seek a life beyond the eating disorder has to come into it. And it certainly wasn't true for me.
We've been talking and I with Robin Cruz, Making Peace with Your Plate. To find out more, you're going to have to get the book. It's about eating disorder recovery, brilliantly written as well as intelligently written. And by the way, that's also true of the quiz at Persona Nutrition. You can get daily vitamin packs personalized to you. That's right, personalized. Our sponsor is Persona Nutrition. You can take the online assessment and get a recommendation at mypersona.com. I want to thank Robin Cruz greatly for talking to us and revealing herself in this book. It's a wonderful book. Do look at it, and do more than look at it. Do get it. It will help you in dealing with yourself, maybe with your kids or friends, with all emotions, not just with the emotions that lead to eating disorders. So I want to thank her and you. This is 995B. The B's are always the guest segment. 995A, of course, the latest news of the week, where we have, of course, longevity is the next disruptor, as well as the Well Beyond Wellness segments. Thanks again, Robin. Thank you, Joe, for great engineering. But especially thank you, the listeners, for downloading us. 50,000 of you, we can't all be wrong, so thanks for doing it. We'll be back next week. Another wonderful news of the week and what it means to you in the A segment, but especially a great guest like Robin in the B segment. Thanks again.